In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday in chapel, Dr. Aho talked about a blessed interference when he described Jesus casting the money changers out of the temple. A meddling interference to the religious leaders, but a blessed interference for penitent sinners because of the cleansing of Jesus. In a way, the term blessed interference could also describe God's calling us to his service. We turn from the New Testament to the Old Testament this morning, Exodus chapter 3, which was read before, and we learn about facing God's call. Facing God's call first involves hearing it, secondly, raising questions, and thirdly, accepting God's answers. No question about it, Moses heard God's call, but God had to get his attention first. 40 years of wandering around with sheep, routine, all of a sudden is interrupted by a burning bush. A bush burning that wouldn't go out. As God is trying to get his attention, Moses is mostly curious. He wants to get close and see what makes that bush burn and not burn up. But God speaks rather directly, "Moses," and then when he answers, says, "Take off your shoes. Don't come closer because you are standing on holy ground." And Moses is properly afraid and awestruck in the presence of the living God. Then comes the message that he hears, "I've heard the cries of my people, and I am going to deliver them from Egypt. And incidentally, I am sending you to bring them out." What an overwhelming call of God for Moses, who had been there and knew what it was like and had fled for his life. If we're going to face God's call for our lives, we also first have to hear it. And God needs to get our attention. We are on holy ground because we are gathered together around that more sure word of prophecy, the word of the living God, which burns but doesn't burn up. And yet our first approach is often one of idle curiosity, walking in and sitting down in the pew and seeing who else came to chapel today, trying to find out which prof is up here in front and what message he might bring, if there's even going to be a message. How well is the student assistant going to do in leading the liturgy, and what type of music will be offered? All until God calls us by name and he says, "Take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground." And properly, we recognize that we are in the presence of the living God and his word, and so we are prepared to listen. And then comes the call. A unique call to each of us, for most of us here, a call into the holy ministry with the awesome responsibility and privilege that that involves. And it certainly seems overwhelming as it did for Moses. And in that kind of a setting, facing God's call and hearing it, questions are raised. Moses did anyway. Not necessarily good, but then somewhat good. In our text, he raises two, three more come later. The second is more important than the first. But the first question Moses raises is, "Who am I that I should deliver the people from Egypt?" There's some improvement there. I suppose 40 years earlier, Moses would not have done that. Somewhat headstrong, brought up in the culture of Egypt, in the royal family, rather self-confident. He was willing to take things into his own hands and kill an Egyptian taskmaster. At that point, self-sufficient, pride, but a lot of that had been knocked out of Moses through the fleeing Egypt in the 40 years. So it's good that he was asking, "Who am I that I should go?" But then there's a problem there too, because do we not detect a tinge of God? I'm not so sure I can do it, and I'm not so sure you know what you're doing in calling me. We see there self-doubt and really doubting God. When we ask that question, who am I? The same ambivalence is there. There may be some of you here today who are like the young headstrong Moses. Oh, I think I can handle that sort of thing. After all, I just made it through the winter quarter and I think I passed. Haven't seen my grades yet, possibly A's. And with a vicarage assignment coming up and a call, I know so much that I'm quite confident that wherever they send me, I will do an exceptional job. Might sound just a little bit like self-sufficiency and pride, and as I read scriptures, that's sin. But then on the other hand, we may be at the other point where we cry out, who am I? Not just proper humility, but a sense of doubting. We aren't sure if we did make it through the winter quarter, and we're rather frightened about the vicarage or the call based on some of our previous experiences. And we wonder whether that initial glow, whatever that amounted to, really is there anymore, and whether God quite knows what he's doing in calling us to serve in the holy ministry. And that is a self-doubt and a doubting God, which is a sin of another order. Which brings us to the second question, which I call more important. The way it's stated in our text, Moses says, when I go there and they say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? But I think the underlying question Moses is asking is, God, who are you? Yes, who are you name-wise so I can communicate you to others, but beyond that, who are you in terms of what you're asking me to do, your reliability and your ability to perform that which you say? And that gets in the area of unbelief, which is quite a serious sin. Moses really wants to know. When that question, is that question asked by us, who are you, God? Seminary students, drenched in the Word of God with his name on our lips every day, coming to us in exegetical and systematic and historical and practical packages with a sure word? Do we ask the question, who are you, God? I wonder if we're asking more than I want to know your name better so I can communicate you. Are we also asking, God, are you adequate for the call you're giving me? And are you adequate to enable me to meet that challenge? And there is a closeness there to unbelief, although it can also be a very positive question. Having heard the call, we raise questions which also bring us to our knees about our pride or our self-doubt or unbelief. Thank God there is a third step. Having heard and raised questions, there is the step of accepting God's answers by his power. Really, God does a rather fine job of answering both questions, and we need to start with his answer to the second one, since I said that was more important. Who are you, God? God says, I am who I am. Yahweh, tell them the I am God has sent you. By this he is saying, there is no other. I always am and I act. No one can put me into a box and manipulate me by using my name. And I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has made some promises and will bring deliverance. You can trust me. Some scholars see in the angel of the Lord, speaking out of the burning bush, the pre-incarnate Christ. One thing we can see, that when Jesus says, I am, so many times in John, the resurrection, the life, the bread of life, and so forth, he is identifying himself with Yahweh. And he is the one, dear friends, who comes to us in this chapel this morning on this holy ground. And he identifies himself as one who is for us, as one who lived and answered God's call, as one who went to the cross to pay for our sins and rose again on the third day. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the I Am God, who can answer our deepest questions, who can heal and forgive our self-sufficiency and our self-doubts and our unbelief. And that makes his answer to the first question take on more meaning. Who am I? Cried Moses. The answer, I am with you. God promised that Moses was acceptable because he would be with him and in him and through him, and that the task could be accomplished. And the greatest good news is that as we are gathered here today with that call ringing in our ears, he is saying to us, I am with you. Emmanuel, God with us, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we bear his name on our forehead in our baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Yahweh, the I Am God, is with us to make us adequate for the tasks before us. Yes, we're gathered on holy ground, and that unique call of God comes to each one of us again today, raising the right questions can be a very helpful practice about who we are really and who God is when we then accept his answers for every need. Wouldn't that be a good project for the rest of the Lenten season and for the spring quarter? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.